Hey, this is Greg Berger, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Get along, gang, get along, gang. Each one so special in his own way. Montgomery's the leader, and he's such a good sport. But get along, gang, get along, gang.
To the 52nd episode of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network and Audible.com. I'm your host, Dave Jim Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Optimus Solo. Hello.
Can't we all just get along?
Today we're going to be jumping back into the DeLorean for another Tooncast Beyond DeLorean time episode with our heading set for 1985 when we talk about the Get Along Gang.
Yay! No?
Okay, then. This is pretty much going to be a Kevin episode. Because
Optimus,
I never saw the Get Along Gang when I was a kid.
That's a travesty against all humanity.
And when I watched it as a 33-year-old adult, it made my teeth rot.
Man,
like
you're old.
Eating too much sugar.
You're old. You're getting old.
Oh, shut up, Mr. 32. Crazy. Don't even go there.
Not 32.
Yes, you are. You will be.
No, I won't
in
be.
About yeah.
No, you're
yeah,
off by
you
a year,
will
sir.
Be in about 20 days.
You're off by a year. I'll be 31.
What are you?
1981.
Oh, yeah, that's I'm 32. Damn it.
You don't even know how old you are.
Well, by the time shut up. But by the time November, December roll around, I start saying that I'm the next year older because my birthday comes up in February. So it's like if I get in the mindset now that I'm going to be 33, so I just tell people I'm 33.
I see.
Random off-topic fact, when I had my really, really weird bus stop incident a couple weeks ago, guy offered me, you know, wine and weed, and I'm like, no, not my thing. He's like, oh, how old are you? 33. I just said it to me. I knew it wasn't true, but I was, you know, I'm what, 3 months off? You know what I mean? So it's like, he's like, oh, well, I would have expected you to be, I would have thought you were 23. And I'm like, okay, thanks, I guess. And this is me, as I am right now, with my hair halfway off my head and my beard jutting out like Merlin. You expect someone that looks like that to be 23 years old? Give me a break.
No, I expect someone that looks like that to live in the world of the Lord of the Rings.
No, Merlin and Arthurian is more my speed. Oh, okay. Fuck Lord of the Rings.
We should have Hobbit Month. Anyway.
Anyways, we are here to talk about the Get Along Gang. As I said, this is pretty much going to be a Kevin episode, so take it away with the history lesson.
I can't even hear the phrase Get Along Gang without the theme song going in my head. Get Along Gang. Anyway, history lesson. The Get Along Gang, originally characters created in 1983 by American Greetings Toy Design and Licensing Division. That's right. Those characters from Cleveland, now American Greetings properties, for a series of greeting cards. That's how I first saw them, and then on Christmas ornaments. The Get Along Gang are a group of 12 and later 14 pre-adolescent anthropomorphic animal. I can almost never say that. Adolescent anthropomorphic animal characters that lived in the fictional
town. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like talking like Daffy Duck.
who live in the fictional town of Green Meadow, who form a club that meets in an abandoned caboose, and who have various adventures whose upbeat stories intended to show the importance of teamwork and friendship and obviously getting along. The success of the greeting card line led to a Saturday morning television series, which aired on CBS for 13 episodes in the 1984 to 1985 season. Each of the characters had obvious faults, which they learned to overcome with the aid of their friends. And we'll get into those characters here in a little bit. But my general memories here, I remember I must have been like 3 or 4 or something like that when I got a Christmas ornament. We usually got one like every year or so, and I got one that had the Get Along Gang on it. I also remember seeing some of the greeting cards and thought that they looked pretty cool. I think I had a shirt that had the Get Along Gang on them. So then when they were finally released into a TV series along that same time period, that was cool to see them. So I definitely remember them. I remember the theme song. I remember all the characters. And I was telling you earlier about me being a little kid, and we used to always have, my sister and I always had like little tape recorders, and somehow we would either tape record ourselves, or I don't know if I ever got video recorded or not, but somewhere in our family collection there is a tape of me singing a song that these guys did, because they also released some audio cassettes, and we're going to give people a listen to that later on. But so I don't know, this just has a special place in my nostalgic heart. And I just liked this show as a kid. It was just one of those shows that was kind of like off the beaten path. It wasn't super popular. It's not like the Smurfs or Care Bears or whatever, but I loved them even more maybe because of their not being, I guess, what I would call mainstream. You know, it was like, there was certain cartoons that I watched back in the day that not all my friends were watching. That included stuff like The Mysterious Cities of Gold, included stuff like Get Along Gang, The Adventures of Little Koala, a few other early Nickelodeon shows before people actually got into Nickelodeon, like The World of David the Gnome and some stuff like that. So this just had kind of like a special spot for me, and I really enjoyed the series, even though it was very short-lived. And you have no memory of it.
1985, Transformers, you know, Mask, Jam,
for me, this was a
Thundercats.
No, not yet. This for me, I saw this right before a lot of that stuff started showing on the air, and right as Transformers was just starting. Because a lot of those shows that you mentioned actually weren't airing at this exact time that this one was airing.
Transformers was airing it in 85.
No, this started, this was basically 84. This is the fall of 84. So some of those were getting just started and airing either that exact season, or some of them came in like the year after or 2 years after. So this was kind of like one of my last, you know, kind of like really kiddie shows before I got transitioned into some of those action shows.
Yeah. I, between 83 and 87, I guess, I was either action cartoons or, like, from my quote-unquote learning and kiddie stuff, it was Sesame Street. It was not this.
This was right along. I just probably, you know, I had been exposed since I had a sister that was a couple years older. This was along that same time that I would have been watching, you know, like Care Bear, Rainbow Bright, Strawberry Shortcake, My Little Pony with my sister, you know, all those shows. Get Along Gang came along. It was kind of like in that vein right before I really transitioned into the Transformers G.I. Joe era. The only action show I probably was watching at the same time of this was maybe the first couple episodes of Transformers and He-Man were about the only shows, you know, action-wise that I was into at the time I got into Get Along Gang. But
interesting.
Yep. Just good stuff. It was a kid's show that wasn't, I know you think it was all sugary and too sweet and all that stuff, but to me,
hold on. Let me defend that just a little bit here. It's me now looking at it.
Yeah, but I mean, at the time, there were shows that were like that.
Right.
And that you, even as a kid, were almost too sugary and too sweet. Care Bears was right on that tightrope of that. You know, there were certain shows that were definitely all the way over there.
Right.
That even as a kid, you're like, this is too goody two shoes. And this one to me had a little more edge. I mean, edge is a strong word, but
it does have a bit of an edge, because it does, from the episodes that I did watch, I only watched 4 episodes. I can only find 4 episodes, four full episodes on YouTube. If there are more, that's all well and good. But after watching those 4 episodes, I will never watch the show again.
For me, it was not so much the kiddie children's cartoon, right, where you dealt with kid issues, like dealing with parents or stuff like that. This was one of those first ones for me where it was more about a group of friends setting, and you could relate to it as you were going off maybe into your first couple of years of schooling, whether it be kindergarten, first grade, or whatever, where there was groups and there was people outside of your group and there was the bullies or the cliques starting to form even at a young age. And this, you could kind of relate to that. And then obviously the title is Get Along Gang, and it's all about getting along, and we'll get in more into that later. But to me, it just had a different feel than some of the other shows that I was used to, being four kids. This kind of was like four kids, but it was that group of friends setting where you had to deal with, you know, outsiders, and you had to deal with issues of just getting along with everybody in your group. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I understand that. But again, I don't have the nostalgia you do for this. So that's why I'm probably looking at it in a more analytical sense and an adult sense.
Shame on you.
Shut up. When I did watch it, two episodes were way too sugary and nice and sweet for me. The other two were slightly darker, and I liked a little bit of the darker ones, and I appreciated that. But, like, between the theme song and between the beginning of one of the episodes, it was like, oh my God, my teeth are going to fall out because I feel like I've ate too much candy.
You should be struck by lightning for saying anything negative about that theme song. Just FYI. The world will disagree with you on that one.
And that's fine. They're, you know, the world has their opinions, but, you know.
Oh, goodness. Let's get into some of the characters.
Alrighty then, take it away.
Alright, well, each of the characters had some faults, and like I kind of said in the intro, there was mainly 12 characters, even though they later added two, but there was mainly just six that had the major speaking roles in the cartoon. Montgomery Moose, he's the group's leader, and his tragic fault, was that he was clumsy. You had Wilma Lamb, who was very vain and self-centered. You had Dottie Dog, who could be careless. The other female was Portia Porcupine, who had temper tantrums. And then the other guys were Zipper Cat, who could be overbearing, and Bingo Beaver, who could be greedy and tended to get himself into trouble with his bedding and stuff like that. And then there was the two kind of bad characters of the show, which were Catch'em Crocodile, the main big bully outsider, and then his sidekick, Leland Lizard. And there was, you know, some adult characters, Officer Growler, Breaker Turtle, Mr. Hoofnagle, and some other people like that that would come and go. But those are your main six members of the Get Along Gang, and then the two outsiders. As far as voice acting goes, we have an interesting mix here. As most 80s shows, Scott Menville found a place playing one of the kid roles. and, you know, he shows up everywhere. But the rest of them are pretty interesting. You have Bettina Bush doing Dottie Dog, who most people know as Rainbow Bright, or I think Gloria from the Madagascar series recently.
Okay.
Sparky Marcus played the leader, Montgomery Moose, and he was quite prevalent in 80s shows. He did Richie Rich in 1980, did one of the human characters in Challenge of the GoBots. Yes, I got a GoBot reference in there. Then you had Robbie Lee as Zipper Cat, Georgie Irene as Wilma Lamb, a very popular voice actress these days, Sherry Lynn, in an early role as Portia Porcupine. She does a lot of anime. Timothy Gibbs did Catch'em Crocodile. That's his, I believe, one of his only voice roles. And how about a young Nikki Cat as Leland Lizard?
Nikki who?
Cat, K-A-T-T, who most people will know from, I'm trying to think of the cop show that he was on.
Chips?
No. We're much more recently.
NYPD Blue?
No, he was in... Shoot, give me one second here. He was in Law and Order. That was just a spit role. What else was he in? Boston Public.
Oh, okay.
He was Harry Sennett on Boston Public.
Oh, okay. I know who that guy is. Yeah, that's not a cop
show. I know. I was thinking a cop show because I remember seeing him on Law and Order.
Yeah. No, I know that guy. He's very cool. Okay,
yeah, so he
cool.
was in there as one of those very early role for him in his acting career. And then, of course, you had Don Messick, Frank Welker, and a few other people doing some of the adult roles. So it was kind of an interesting mixture of some very young talent, some talent that was very well established, some interesting voices that were in the mix. As far as, like, favorite characters, I liked Zipper Cat just because he was cool. He was like the athletic one. But I really just loved Montgomery Moose. And I'm not a Moose person. I don't really like Mooses that much.
It's Mooses.
Okay. But something about Montgomery Moose, I just had a soft spot for. I mean, he was kind of the leader, but he was like an unopposing leader. He wasn't like the big bad leader. He was like the leader because they chose him as their basic leader. It wasn't because he was arrogant or cocky or anything like that.
All right, let me ask you a question. Yeah. You're on a desert island. You can only have one moose as your best friend. Do you pick Montgomery or Bullwinkle?
Montgomery.
Ah, you fuck.
Didn't like any of the female characters in this. I did not like Dottie Dog. I did not like Wilma Lamb. I did not like Portia Porcupine. To me, they were all very much like Miss Piggy in a way, and just not female characters I could get behind. Leland Lizard was a cool kind of innocent sidekick to the bully. And the guy characters were all right in this. The animation was cool, but there was some changes that went along with that, which we'll get into. But overall, you know, none of the characters stand out as like iconic characters, but they were cool in their own right.
Cool. So shall we delve into the behind-the-scenes stuff then?
Oh, why not? And I forgot to mention the two characters that would come in later would be Hocus Hare and Pocus Possum. I don't remember them at all. So I don't know what they actually showed up in, if they ever showed up in the series.
Wait a second. This show had two characters, Hocus Hare and Pocus Possum. Hocus Pocus, really? Yep. Seriously?
Six members that didn't have speaking roles for the most part, except for very rarely, was Breaker Turtle, like I mentioned, Rocco Rabbit, Rudyard Lion, Floor Forget-Me-Not Fox, Bernice Bear, and Lolly Squirrel.
That was a dingo.
And I don't remember any of them, except for Breaker.
Right.
So, but yeah, behind-the-scenes stuff, it's interesting. This is kind of like, it has a lot of things in similar to, I guess, Care Bears would have been the other one, that went from Nelvana to Deek. I think it's Care Bears that did that transition. Nelvana actually produced a pilot episode that was broadcast on the Nickelodeon cable network in April of 84. So in the spring of 84. And it dealt with the 12 members of the gang trying to win a scavenger hunt and catch them kind of causing problems and whatnot. And it had a completely different cast than the later series would. Mm-hmm. The pilot aired in syndication nationwide during the summer of 84. There was a different theme song, which we'll get into later. But for some reason, between the pilot episode and the series premiere, the production went from Nelvana to Deke Entertainment. And they were the ones that did the 13 half-hour episodes, and they had a whole new cast.
Didn't Nelvana go out of business at some point, though? Isn't that why Deke took a lot of their catalog over?
It seemed like that something about that did happen. I don't think they went out of business that early in the 80s, but I'd have to look it up. But the original cast had a lot of ties to some of the other stuff we've talked about before, like Cops, the cartoon, and some of those other things. I had Dan Hennessy and, like I said, a whole different cast, Jim Henshaw, Wayne Robson, and just a whole different cast. So that's kind of interesting that, you know, it has that kind of two different. And some people will say that the animation, that they like the animation in the pilot better, they like the look better, they like the voice acting better. I recently got a hold of someone on YouTube who has a copy of the pilot episode on videotape or some form, and I convinced him to upload it to YouTube. So that should be happening any day now. So hopefully if people want to see what the pilot looked like, they'll be able to shortly.
Cool.
And then I can capture all their voices for BehindTheVoiceActors.com. So that's kind of the behind the scenes here, just the changeover from Nelvana to Deke.
Interesting. All right, so tell us about the actual show, I guess, as far as, what was the point outside of everybody gets along and our friends?
It wasn't about necessarily, the point wasn't that they would just get along. The point was you basically have this gang of, you know, like any kid kind of dreams of or sometimes has, you have this gang of friends, you know, in this case, six friends. You have your clubhouse, which in this case was a caboose that you get to hang out. You know, so that takes you away from the parents, away from the adults, and you're basically just kids having fun after school or whatever. And it was just kind of the stuff that they would get into as they were hanging out, like any kids would with their friends. You know, whether it be a contest they entered, whether it be, you know, just different stuff that they would be doing. And at some point, obviously something would come up, which would set one of them as an outsider or would cause some type of rift. And, you know, the moral of the episode at the end would be them coming back together and all getting along. So it was kind of like a lot of shows back then where, you know, you have a happy-go-lucky group of friends, something happens to break that up, and by the end of the episode, you come all together again. You know, and a lot of times Ketchum Crocodile or Leland would have something to do with what was causing them problems, or it would be one of their, you know, kind of weaknesses, like Bingo Beaver being greedy. He might have bet something. Like, I remember watching an episode where he was involved in a bet where he lost the clubhouse.
Yeah.
From Crocodile. So then it was them trying to get their clubhouse back and getting along with each other. And Ketchum Crocodile would always be the one that would refuse to get along with them.
Would you say that Ketchum is the main villain of the show?
Oh, yeah, he's the main villain. I mean, he's not so much of a villain as like a guy that just doesn't know how to get along with the rest of the group and refuses to, you know, to let his pride or his ego down enough to be friends. He doesn't want to show that weakness or whatever.
Right.
And he wants to take over their clubhouse, and he just wants to be the one that's liked the most.
Cool.
So that's the main gist of the story. I mean, there's only 13 episodes, so it can't get too complex here.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so what is so special about this music other than the fact that it's laced with, you know, sugar?
Okay, well, first of all, there's two different musical deals here.
Okay.
The original pilot, done by Nelvana, had a theme song, which was, interestingly enough, written and performed by John Benson Sebastian. For those of you that...
You now know that I have to put a 30-second clip of Summer in the City in this episode, well, right?
Hopefully when this episode gets uploaded to YouTube, I can actually hear this theme song for the first time probably ever.
Okay.
And then, you know, we could somehow get that. But I want to hear what it is like, because he is best known as a founder of the Lovin' Spoonful. He also, interestingly enough, wrote the song and sang the song to the theme song for Welcome Back, Kotter.
Oh, cool.
Welcome back. That's him. And not only did he do that, he also composed and performed Care Bear Countdown, the theme song for the Nirvana's version of the Care Bears TV series. It's the
That was him?
Countdown, yeah. Along with a bunch of stuff for the Care Bears movie trilogy. So he had done all that, and then he did the original theme song for Get Along Gang. Now, none of that was kept when Deke took over.
Right.
So then the music was done by our friends.
I'm Saban and Shuki Levy. Shuki Levy.
Yes. So they're the ones responsible for the theme song that I know, which I wouldn't say it's like one of the 10 best theme songs of the 80s, but it is an honorable mention because it is a very catchy theme song. Just cool music, cool lyrics, very catchy. And if you're a fan of theme songs, cartoon theme songs or retro theme songs, and you haven't heard this one, you need to take a listen because it's pretty cool. No matter what Mike says.
Yeah.
And you heard it at the beginning of this episode, so just go back and listen to it again, and it'll be stuck in your head.
Like a really, really bad migraine.
It's good throughout the series, though, too. They do a lot of variations on that. It's usually always music going on in the background, so it's never really, like, there's never dull, like, boring lulls in the action or anything, because you always have music going on. Very musical show. Like I said, they had audio cassettes with different themes and different songs that characters were singing and stuff. It was very cool. Very musical show.
Very awesome. And what about today? What is the legacy of Get Along Gang?
Well, first of all, the reception back then, a lot of people, you know, gave it some good reviews, especially the pilot and with John Sebastian's ties to it. Like most 80s stuff, it was the product of the television watch groups, which, you know, demanded that positive values be emphasized and whatnot. But some people, critics will say that when you do that, and, you know, when all the 80s shows promoted teamwork and cooperation and stuff like that. Some people say that that kind of persuades people against being their own individuals, which a very prominent person in the cartoon world, Mark Evanier, had an article in 1997 in which he basically kind of talked a little bit about the Get Along Gang. I'm going to read this because it's kind of an interesting thing that gives a little bit of insight into what was going on in the 80s. And he said, television watch groups all seek to make KidVid more enriching and redeeming, at least by their definitions, and at the time, they had enough clout to cause the networks to yield. Consultants were brought in, and we, the folks who were writing cartoons, were ordered to include certain pro-social morals in our shows. At the time, the dominant pro-social moral was as follows. The group is always right. The complainer or outsider is always wrong. This was the message of way too many 80s cartoon shows. If all your friends want to get pizza and you want a burger, you should bow to the will of the majority and go get pizza with them. There was even a show for one season on CBS called The Get Along Gang, which was dedicated unabashedly to this principle. Each week, whichever member of the gang didn't get along with the others learned the error of his or her ways. I don't believe you should always go along with a group. What about thinking for yourself? What about developing your own personality and viewpoint? What about doing things because you decide they're the right thing to do, not because the majority ruled and you got outvoted? So even though that was kind of the way that things were done at the time, apparently some people have problems with that. Any comment on that?
No, I fully believe in the individual, you know, as far as, you know, the whole point of going along with a group or, you know, that whole statement of, you know, if one person didn't get along with the group or didn't agree with the group and they would learn the error of their ways because they didn't agree with somebody, that's essentially peer pressure is what that is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was that extreme.
No, I know, but that's the way I'm viewing it now, you see?
I mean, I don't think kids were getting that message completely.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think they were more so getting to know how to get along with people if they choose. There was other merchandise. Like I said, I had Christmas ornaments. There was greeting cards that came before this. There were stuffed toys and action figures for a while. There was a series of books, comic books. And like I said, there was also audio tapes. So you had a lot of options there. And I didn't know about this until doing the research for the show, but there was also an attempt at a revival, so to say.
God, that didn't last.
Shut up. the greeting card and toy line basically ended in 1987. And the books kept on going for a little while. But in 2004, apparently, a licensing and marketing agency announced the addition of the Get Along Gang to its properties, and plans called for the availability of merchandise such as clothing, toys, games, and home decor, but the relaunch never materialized. And then in 2005, American Greetings, the original company there, started plans for an official relaunch of the franchise, which was going to feature 5 new characters. And accompanied by an older version of Porsche Porcupine, who was in the original one. There was even a CGI pilot in development. An unfinished version of this pilot has been posted online. However, for unknown reasons, the planned revival was shelved in late 2007, and American Greetings refused to approve the original DVD release of the series for some reason at the same time. So I'm not sure what happened there. They seemed like they were all ready to go, and then they canceled everything and even blocked the original series being released on DVD. So I'm not really sure why they did that. In 2011, Mill Creek Entertainment, though, did release the best of The Get Along Gang, which was a one-disc set featuring 10 of the 13 half-hour episodes, so 20 of the 26 stories. And the episode Camp Get Along and School's Out are included on a bonus feature on Mill Creek's DVD of Heathcliff Season 1, Volume 1. So right. There are ways to see these on DVD, just not the entire series.
Yeah, see, that always makes me mad. Doesn't matter what show it is, you know, even though I'm not a fan of this show, it should still be on DVD. And American Greetings should have given a reason why they wouldn't approve.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, why they all of a sudden pulled the plug on everything.
That makes no damn sense.
This is the type of show that could be redone in a new format to fit a certain age group. I'm not saying I need to see it again in a new version.
Right.
But at least it could have been released on DVD with some of their other stuff. Even if it was a best of, you know...
Right, because this show essentially, if you look at children's programming today, would fit in with, like, Dora... Like, an updated version of this would fit in with, like, Dora the Explorer, Blue's Clues. It would fit in with Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
It's a lot like Franklin and Friends.
Yeah, it would fit in with a lot of that kind of stuff. Clifford.
Oh, yeah. Curious.
All that stuff, yeah. All right, so I think we're going to take a break. The first thing you're going to hear is theme song. What theme song are they hearing
here?
They're
hearing one of the – it's from one of their audio cassette tapes. It's technically, I guess, supposed to be coming from Dotty Dog, Bettina Bush's perspective, as she's singing a song about her love interest there, or the guy she liked the most out of the group, which was Montgomery Moose. And this is the one that I was singing on some cassette tape somewhere in our family archives somewhere. And I just loved this song as a kid. I was looking for it for the better part of the last decade, trying to confirm, because I had it in my head. I could still sing it but I could not find it anywhere online until I finally found it on YouTube. So I decided to send it to Mike to put in this episode. So it's Dotty Dog singing about Montgomery Moose.
Whenever I cry, you make a blue sky. Now that's why I love you, Montgomery. When I forget how to smile, we talk for a while. And that's why I love you, Montgomery. When something goes wrong, you sing me a song. We all get along every day. The fun will never end, my forever friend. Now that's why I love you, Montgomery.
You can now hear the GeekCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear GeekCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter GeekCast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code GeekCast Radio when you register.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by GeekCast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Cloud after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next GeekCast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Ooh.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. The Geekcast Radio Network has launched Mask Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us at iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Welcome to my throne room, fugitives. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
For you, the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. Final thoughts on Get Along, sir?
I just like Get Along Gang. To me, it's one of the better kind of preschool slash kindergarten, first grade type cartoons of the 80s, which I think the 80s did a lot better than recent generations have done, notwithstanding like the last 5 or 6 years, which has gotten a lot better. But for a long time, it was shit like Barney, and Blue's Clues and stuff like that, which I just have nothing nice to say. I mean, yeah. you just rattled off a bunch of shows that are on nowadays that make it a lot better. Yeah. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, Curious George, Clifford and stuff like that. So it's getting back to being cool, but the 80s was a good time to be a kindergartner.
A kid of all ages, essentially.
Yeah, first grader or whatever. And this was just one of your options to watch for a season. So it was cool.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every episode post. Send us email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. Mine is TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
Optimus Solo.
You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call the voicemail line, tell us the show you're leaving the message for, and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond, and wish you'll join us next time as we head back to real time to talk about Road to El Dorado. Ugh, treasure hunting. Ugh.
Yay!
For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
the one and only Optimus Solo.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.